Amen. Did you bring a Bible today? Listen, can I see it? I got to check you. You aren't lying. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And I want to thank those of you who prayed for our family this week. And last Sunday was the first Sunday I've ever missed for not feeling well. And that was all kind of fun. But praise God for His healing power. Amen. He's still a healer today, and by His stripes we are healed this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. So we'll be out of here in about 3 hours. I got to make up for last week. You know, I'm a preacher, so don't hand me a microphone. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and I say this all the time, but I genuinely believe that this word for this morning is the one of the most important things you can ever hear me say, and it's going to take me 2 weeks to get through it, and we'll finish it up next week, but I believe it's going to be a powerful revelation to your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and here's what it says. It says, to everything there is a season. To everything. Somebody say everything. Does that leave anything out? To everything there is a season. A time, somebody say a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Those are set times. A time to plant and a time to pluck what's planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Skip down to verse 11, and this is what it all hinges on, and you've got to see this. He has made everything. Does that leave anything out? He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, how many of you have ever been through hell on earth? If you ever get a hold of this, it's going to all be okay. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. He has made everything beautiful in its time. That's past tense. He's already done it. The cross of Jesus Christ, the blood that Jesus shed, the hell on earth that Jesus went through. And He said, you're going to go through some if you're attached to me. That has 2,000 years ago made everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the up, the down, the ins, the outs, the tragedies and the triumphs. It has made everything beautiful in its time, because God is able to redeem every hour of my life, the good times and the bad, the times I was away from Him and the times I'm close to Him. The blood of Jesus has the power to make everything beautiful in its time. If you don't understand why you went through it, if you don't understand where you're at today, just hang on, because He's about to make it beautiful in its time. Hang on, baby. Reminds me of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things, does that leave anything out? All things work together for the everything. I know people, your pastor lost a child. How do you explain that? How do you explain a baby getting run over by a car? How do you explain a divorce that you didn't desire? How do you explain a bankruptcy when something you invested your life in failed? How do you explain those things? How do you deal with those things? How do you make it through things when people who treat you like hell, who are the closest to you, how do you explain those situations and those seasons of your life? I come to tell you that God has the power to make everything beautiful in its time, in its season. And I've got to learn to stay in the season and learn to embrace every moment that God has given me in my life. Because this is what we do. We wait for things to get better and we say, then. I lost the front. I'm going to come preach to the back. I'll find somebody back here listening to me. Right? Here's what we do, Tim. We wait for better times. And we put our life on hold. Good morning, Mark and Jesse. Good to see y'all. Nothing froze up in the barn, I hope, because it has been colder than cold. Everything. Y'all pray for their drinking cups. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. He makes everything beautiful in its season. So my job, I'm going to give you the punchline at the front of the service. My job is to be the same, Rachel, no matter what's going on in my life. My job is to be the same person. My job is to embrace the good and the bad, the up and the down, the times of heaven on earth and the times of hell on earth. My job is to learn that in everything and in every season, no matter what comes my way or no matter what I go through, my God doesn't change and He's living on the inside of me, and that means what's inside me doesn't change. What's inside me is not dictated by my season. What's inside me is not dictated by my circumstance. What's inside me is eternal, hallelujah. And what's inside of me has the power to make everything on the outside beautiful in its time, hallelujah. And so if we wait for the right times and the right seasons, then we miss out on so much of life that God has ordained for you to embrace and enjoy. Here's why. Because He wants to do something in your life, especially in the seasons you don't understand. This is how I survive the senseless seasons of my life. Anybody ever been through one? Come to bring you a little help for the senseless seasons. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your word. I pray for revelation knowledge of Your word to flow freely this morning. I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, that strongholds be torn down. I'm asking today that we would live different, Father, different than we ever have, that we would learn to savor every second of our lives as a gift that has been redeemed by You, that we would redeem the time. And Father, if there be anybody here that is not walking with You, that does not know Your Son as their Savior, I pray that Your goodness would lead them to repentance and that before they leave here today, they would know You personally. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, life is governed by seasons. Life is governed by seasons and set times. God operates by a schedule. You know that's true? God operates by set times and season. Every single year there are four seasons in most places. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Except for us. Then there's winter, and more winter, and even most winter, and then 3 months of something that is like scrummer. It's not spring, and it's not summer. I don't know what it is. And that only shows up every fourth year. Right? Four seasons God has set. He is the keeper of the seasons. Babies are born after 280 days of gestation. God has set that time. Cows, several of you know a lot about cows. Cows have a 285-day gestation cycle. Dogs are 63 days. Horses are 340 days. I can hear somebody going out today. What'd y'all learn in church today? I learned that it takes 63 days to make a puppy. God has set times and seasons. He determined that. Agriculture as a whole is governed and controlled by seed, time, and harvest. That's three things, not two. Amen? Seed, time, and harvest. Israel had seven feasts. They were to hold their feast at set times, specific times designated by God every year. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, for the vision, somebody say the vision. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It is for a time set by God. Jesus came to earth, the Bible says, at the perfect time. That in the fullness of time, at the right season, Jesus came out of eternity into time. And the Bible says that the Father himself is the only one who knows, and he himself has set the time that Jesus Christ is going to return. How many of you know he is coming back? Amen? And the Father has set and determined that time. So life is governed by seasons and set times. It's something we understand. It's something we're not unfamiliar with. And there will be seasons of your life that you don't understand. Seasons that are painful. Can I just bust your bubble right now? Seasons that are uncomfortable. Seasons of loneliness. Seasons of isolation. Seasons of trouble. Seasons of struggle. Seasons of defeat. Seasons that leave you with more questions than answers, like, why am I going through this? And why am I facing this? And what did I do to get to this place that I am? And these are the seasons that we would love to just skip. Like on a VCR, we have the fast forward. You just skip it. I say VCR. We don't even have VCRs anymore. DVD, Blu-ray, I don't know, TiVo, Voodoo, Hulu, right? I don't know what all that is. We just want to hit the fast forward. We want to, y'all, anybody ever play Monopoly? What's that one you skip to Boardwalk or something? You just want to get one of them cards, but no. God says, nuh-uh. What happens when walking in the will of God takes you through the fire? What happens when walking with God takes you through the lion's den? Who are we then? Amen? Just because we walk in the perfect will of God doesn't mean everything's always going to be easy. Why? Because life is governed by times and seasons, and he makes them all beautiful in their time. Now, here's the thing we've got to understand. How many of you ever heard the term in season? Right? Strawberries are in season. I wish, because that means it would be warm outside. Sweet corn. Mm-hmm. Grapes. You ever go up there by the lakes and pick the grapes? When they're in cherries. Hallelujah. Those Bing cherries. In season, and my favorite of all, peaches. I mean, when you get one of those peaches, Wanda, when they're in their season, they are glorious. I mean, they're juicy, and when you bite into them and your teeth just sinks through and that sweetness explodes on the inside of your mouth, I'm talking about peaches. You slice them up and put them on top of waffles, throw some syrup on there, man, I'm telling you, it'll set you free. They're in season. Here's what it means to be in season. To be in season means at the right time. To be in season means at the stage of greatest opportunity. It is a stage of perfection and perfect timing. It is the time when something comes into its own. In other words, it owns the time frame that it's in. And when it's in its time, it's glorious. And when it's in its time, it draws attention. And people pay attention to it. Amen? I want you to look at your neighbor this morning and say, you've got to live in your season. Look at the other one you just rejected and tell them, live in your season. And we're going to talk about the power of living in season. We've got to learn to live in season. What season, Josh? The one you're in. Amen? And so this morning I want to give you an example of somebody who didn't live in season, because there's multiple ways to learn And one of the best ways is by learning what people shouldn't do. And we're going to take a look at that in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, if you'd go there. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it's a story of the prodigal son. And this is a guy who did not live in season. He didn't embrace his season. He got out of his season. And I want to take a look at it. It says this. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me what's mine. Give me my inheritance. So he, the father, divided them, to them, that's his older brother and him, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swines. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Nobody gave him anything. It was a season of barrenness. He was willing to eat pig slop. That's a pretty rough place, isn't it? Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, you know, that has a way of happening when you're backslid. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy. Somebody say worthy. He had a worthiness issue. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Daddy covered him with kisses. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best. Somebody say the best. Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let's make merry and eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So this guy, he's got it good. He's living in daddy's house. Daddy's even got servants. And he's got it good. And he goes to his dad as a young man, and he says, Dad, I want my inheritance, not when you die, but I want it now. How many of you know there's a problem with that? Would that go over okay in your family? And the father, for whatever reason, agrees to do this with the son. And there are a few things that I want to draw out of this story for us today. As we understand that we've got to live in our season, and the dangers of stepping out of the season that God has set, and the times that God has framed for your life. Number one is he was impatient. Somebody say impatient. Now, I know nobody on your row needs to hear about impatience, but the people in the back of the church do. So we're going to talk to them today. Impatience. Anybody ever known anybody else to be impatient? Amen. He was impatient, okay? He. This is what I want you to see. He didn't ask for the wrong thing. He asked for the right thing, but he asked for it at the wrong time. He asked for the right thing in the wrong season. How many of you know that you can have the right thing at the wrong time and it still messes it all up? How many of you know that timing is important? Can you just wave at me today? Somebody say, timing is important. Timing is everything. He asked out of season. And so for him, this was a season of what he perceived to be delay. This was a season of what he perceived to be postponement. And it's in those times that we feel like we're being delayed and like we're being postponed that our patience is going to be tested. And it only becomes impatience whenever I step out of my proper place. As long as I stay in it, my patience is being tested. I remember as a young boy, my dad would say to me sometimes, boy, you're testing my patience. You ever said anything like that to your kids? If you haven't, you should. It does them good. Normally, it's accompanied by the ringing of an ear.
God. Somebody's going to say, Victory Church teaches people to abuse children. It's not abuse as long as you leave it on their head. He was impatient, and we don't like patience. It makes you nervous even to talk about it because you're afraid God's going to say you need some more, JD. But the Bible says in James chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Here's why. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? I cannot have patience in my life unless my faith is tested. The only way for me to acquire patience, which the early church called the queen of all Christian virtues, the only way for me to receive patience in my life is for me to go through something that is testing my faith. Verse 4 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, God is producing maturity in your life through that season of delay. Are you with me? Patience, somebody say patience. Here's what it means. The definition is cheerful endurance. I didn't just say endurance, I said cheerful endurance. Some of you are like, I'm going through it. That's good enough. Cheerful endurance, it's steadfastness. Remember, I said that my job is to be the same in every season. Can I tell you, I'm not there yet. Constancy. I'm the same in any given season of my life. But here's the one I love, because this is what every person under 25 in America knows nothing about. The ability to wait. This generation coming up was born on third, and they're just standing there waiting for somebody to hit a triple, Rick. The ability to wait. We want everything now. Amen? And it's dangerous, and I want you to see how dangerous it can be for our life. It is the ability to wait, and here's what's important. It's in the waiting. It's in the delay. Somebody say delay. I don't like to be delayed, but it's in the delay that God develops my life. It's in the delay that God is developing my character. And my character is the only thing that can keep me when I get to the place where God has called me. See, here's what we want. We want to skip process, and we want to go right now to that place God's called us to be. We've got this burn on the inside of us, and man, I want what God's got for me. I want all of it, and I want it right now. Why won't God just give it to me right now? It's because He needs to take you through process to develop some things on the inside of your life. David was anointed as a boy, but he was not appointed until many years later, and he went through some things in his life. Why? Because it developed his character. We've got that burn on the inside of us when God makes a deposit in us and He fills us with His Spirit, and we've got something pulling us towards our future. But the reality is that must be balanced by patience. I've got to learn to wait, because if character is not developed on the inside of me, then I have no power to stay where God has called me once I get there. Amen? If you don't believe me, just ask Samson. I'm going to make a statement I've never even heard anybody else say. There is no keeping power in the anointing. The anointing will take you to incredible places, but it's only your character that can keep you where God has called you. Can I tell you that there is an anointing for your life? God will rocket you into incredible things like you never could have imagined. He said, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. God will take you there. He said, mind has not seen and ear has not heard the incredible things that God has in store for us, but it's only your character that can keep you there. If you don't understand the season you're in, learn to embrace it for character to development, because God is taking you somewhere great. Amen? So he had the same problem that is the great American sin. That impatience has a name. It's called instant gratification. It's the reason why our national debt is 17 bazillion or whatever it is. 47, whatever it's up to. Why? Because we know what we want and we want it now. Our grandparents didn't live that way. They worked first and played second. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I know what I want, and I want it now, and I don't want to wait. It's a sign of immaturity. He was impatient. The second thing, he failed to appreciate the season he was in. You've got to learn to appreciate the season you're in, because here's what happens. He became discontent and dissatisfied with where he was. Now, all of a sudden, Daddy's house didn't look so good anymore. A place of beauty and a place where he was raised and a place that he should have been a place of endearment to him. He got to the point where he hated it. Why? Because he didn't appreciate and embrace the season that he was in. He became dissatisfied not only with where he was, but with who he was with. I bet Dad's voice got annoying to the point where he couldn't even handle listening to him anymore. He didn't just get dissatisfied with where he was and the people he was with. And I know some of you have been in this place I'm talking about before where you're just like, I hate being here. I just want to get out of here. Maybe that's where you're at your job now. I hate being with these people. They're all idiots. I'm surrounded by idiots and I'm the only genius. Yikes. But you've been there before. He became dissatisfied with what he was doing. All of a sudden, what he used to do and be happy doing was no longer good enough. Because he didn't learn to appreciate the season he was in. He wasn't satisfied to live in his grass was greener on the other side. And you know, we do that same thing. We look at other people's lives and we want what they have. Satan says you can have it if you just step out of the Father's house. That's always the cost for instant gratification. How many of you know Daddy knows best? Even if you think your parents are idiots or not real spiritual, the Bible says to obey your father and mother, because this is the first commandment with promise. And any voice that tells you otherwise, regardless of how much scripture they use or how spiritual they might seem, the Bible says that that kind of wisdom is demonic, does not come from heaven, and that rebellion is as of the sin and seed of witchcraft. Mommy and Daddy know best. And so it does us good to pay attention to those in our lives that God has placed over us to cover us. But here's what we do. We get that if-then mentality. If I just had, and he got his eyes on somebody else somewhere, he saw something. If I just had what they had. I remember when I was growing up, it was just, if I just had a driver's license, then, man, life would be gravy. If I just could graduate and get out of high school, if I just could move out of my parents' house, if I just could get married, then if I just could get a job and get my career started, if I just could buy a house, if I just could have a baby, if I just could get a promotion, if I just could get whatever that thing I'm reaching after is, if I could just retire, man, then life would all be good. And then I could get the kids out of the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get bit with destination disease. Are you with me? You're not asleep yet, right? You know what I'm saying? We're always looking for something on the horizon. I remember how frustrated I used to get and discouraged. I'd meet pastors of other churches and I'd think, how am I ever going to accomplish anything like that for God? And we get frustrated. I remember when it came to buying a house, I thought, how in the world am I ever going to afford a house? How in the world am I ever going to buy a house? And we get frustrated. We think, I'm never going to get from where I am to where I want to be. How do I get there? And here's the deal. You will get there, but you've got to learn to trust the Father who has set the times and seasons of your life. And you getting from where you are to where God has called you to be depends on how you act in season. So let me give you a few things you can do that'll protect yourself from becoming discontent in a senseless season. Number one, somebody say number one, you've got to live day by day. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But we don't do that. We want to think about 395 days from now. I got to live in today. I've got to learn live day by day. I've got to live step by step. I got to focus on what God's given me to do today. Secondly, you've got to understand that your fruitfulness and your increase and God's provision for your life can only come as you live in your season, the one you're in now. It's not later. It's right now. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in what? In due time. God has already set the time for you to be exalted out of the season you're in and into the next. But my job is to stay in the one where He's placed me. The third thing is, you've got to keep saying yes to God. How do you get to where God's called you to be? Very simply, one act of obedience at a time. Just one. Just do whatever it is He's given you to do and asked you to do today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The fourth thing you can do to stay content and protect yourself from discontentment in a senseless season is you've got to keep giving your best to whatever God's given you to do today. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. Says this, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. I've got to give God my best today. And the last thing you've got to do to protect yourself from discontentment in a senseless season is simply this, you've got to embrace a journey mindset. Say that, embrace a journey mindset. Because here's the thing, life is a journey. It's always moving. It's never static. It's dynamic. And the journey, don't miss this, the journey is the destination. Amen? The journey is the destination. The Bible says in Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What's ordered by God? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. If you're walking in the steps God's ordained for your life, you're already there. Amen? You're right where you're supposed to be. God has you right where He wants you. Amen? And so we've got to stop envying somebody else's season and start enjoying the season we're in. Some of us are so focused on where we want to go that we can't even enjoy where we are. And if we spend a lifetime chasing a destination, we'll never have time to shout in the moment we're in for the blessings of God all around us. The Bible says His mercies were new when I got up this morning. Can you say amen? Thank God for that today. Number three, he left his place. He left his place. He stepped out of his place. He wandered away from the Father's voice. He wandered away from the Father's house. He left his place. And back to the other just for a second. You got to learn to enjoy every step of the journey. All of it. I have spent my life, I've been pastoring since I was 23. When I meet people, they always say the same thing. Never fails. You're kind of young to be a pastor. Thank you, God bless you, I do my best. You're kind of young. So I spent all my 20s trying to be older than I was, right? Because that's what people expected of me. Then all of a sudden, I'm in my 30s. I bought wheels from my truck. I got loud exhaust that's obnoxious. I got new Nerf bars. Somebody said to me a couple weeks ago, what, are you going through a midlife crisis? I said, no, I'm going to be young while I can. I don't want to be old. ever. Amen? But he left his place. He wandered away from the Father's voice. He wandered away from the Father's house. And when we fail to understand the significance and find the value of the season and time God has set for us, we get restless, and that restlessness becomes rebellion. And we want our season to change so bad. We're so desperate for change, we're willing to do anything to get it. I've watched people marry the wrong people because this is where they are. Take the wrong jobs, make the wrong choices, hook up with the wrong people because they fail to stay close to God. These are the seasons when your commitment to stay close to God are being tested. They're the seasons when your willingness to trust, somebody say trust, the Father are being stretched to stay close to God in those difficult seasons. Because here's the thing, Satan is going to tempt you to step out of your season whenever it gets uncomfortable. He's going to show you somebody else with something else that looks and appears to be better. When life doesn't go the way you thought it would, when things didn't fit what you thought they should, it's in those times that I've got to stay close to God, because the testing of my faith is producing patience. Somebody say patience. Now, here's what patience means. Patience, Wendy, means to remain in your spot. Patience means to stay in your place. Isn't that interesting? Patience means to keep your position. It means to maintain your territory. It means to hold the piece of ground until you outlive or outlast the opposition that comes against you. In other words, patience is staying power. Patience is the power to stay put. You've got to stay put in your place. You've got to stay put in your season. And here's the reason why. Because Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this with me on the screens. It says, blessed. Somebody say blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its... Come on, say it again. In its... In its... In its... You've got to stay planted in your season. When does the tree bear fruit? When does the tree bear fruit? The only time, the only place that tree can bear fruit is in its season. Follow me. My fruitfulness depends on me living in the season that God has set for me. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in a couple translations, it brings forth fruit in every season or month after month. When I live in my season, that God will make beautiful in His timing, not mine, then my life will never be barren. I've got to learn to embrace all the seasons that God has called me to live in. But here's the biggest thing I want you to hear today. And the last thing this morning, John and the band, if you'd come, is simply this. The prodigal, he did not trust the Father's timing. And this is where many times we find ourselves. God, I know you can. And God, I know you will. But what I struggle with is when. When, God, will you do it? He didn't trust in his Father's timing. He didn't trust that his daddy knew best when he should receive that inheritance. And so he asked for the right thing, but he took it in the wrong time, in the wrong season of his life. And here's what I want you to see today. David said in Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15, he says, as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. But here's the thing. My times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. We like to take our times into our hands. Am I talking to anybody? The Bible says a man's gift shall make room for him. We get into trouble when we try to make room for our gift. My times are in your hands. I remember when it came time to start this church, I held off as long as I possibly could. I waited, I delayed. People wanted us to start churches. We had churches handed to us. I said, no, 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 no. Almost missed doing this one. My times are in your hands. My life is in your hands, God. I trust in your timing. The times and the seasons of your life have been set by your Father. He knows what I need, and He knows when I need it. He knows who I need, and He knows when I need them. Thank God that my beautiful little who that sits on that back row right there right now, that was on that plane from St. Louis to Columbus, he knew I'd need you, baby. And he knew when I needed you. He knows where I need to be. And he knows when I need to be there by. I was never coming here. Now I thank God that I did. Because I'm living in my season. I'm living in the season that God has ordained for me. It didn't come overnight, but one day at a time, one step at a time, one act of obedience at a time. Jesus said in Matthew 6:32 that you have a Father in heaven who already knows everything you need. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has already set the seasons of my life. God has already marked out the times of my life. He's marked out the good and the bad. He's marked out the up and the down. He's marked out the times I like and the ones I don't like. He's marked out the easy and the awful. He's marked out the delights and the difficulties. And listen to me, it's all for my benefit. It's all for my good. And He makes it all beautiful in His time. The time of my blessing has already been set by God. The time for my life to be favored has already been set by God. The time for my healing has already been set by God. The time for my promotion, I don't need you to see me because Daddy sees me. The time of my elevation has already been set by God. The time of my salvation was already set by God. The time of your loved one's salvation. Matter of time, because it's already been set, the time and the season, by the Father. Hallelujah. And I've got to learn to trust in Daddy's timing, because Satan wants to convince you it's never going to end. It's never going to be over. It's always going to be like this. But I came to call the devil a liar today. Yeah. Because seasons change. Seasons change. They have a beginning and they have an end. Seasons come and seasons go. Satan tries to tell you that the season you're in is never going to last. Walk away from God. But I come to tell you this morning that your times are in His hands. And if you'll just hang on, He'll make everything beautiful in its time. The things that you don't understand, change is on the way to your life. I said change is coming. It's just a matter of time. The Father has already said it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. There's joy coming in the morning. There's joy rising in your life today. There's joy for the season you're in. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody give God a shout.
Yeah.
Stand with me this morning. And he ends up wasting what his daddy gives him. He connects with the wrong people in the wrong place. He spends his inheritance on the wrong thing. And after it all, here's what he finds out, Dylan. He realizes that what he thought he wanted was what he already had. What he thought looked so good. He was looking for what he thought was better. Somebody else is always going to look like they've got it better. Satan will make sure of that. But here's what I found out. There is no perfect life. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect kids. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect jobs. My job is to be the same in all of it and to embrace it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the up, the down. And understand that Daddy makes it all beautiful in its time. And he's working all things together for the good of me because I love the Lord. And we are the called according to his purpose. There's beauty in all of it. And if I spend my life waiting on the calm waters, I'm going to watch my life pass me by. It's time for you to embrace today. Embrace the season you're in. Even if it's ugly, even if you don't understand it. Lift your head to heaven today because your help is on the way, amen. He's seated on the throne at the Father's right hand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there are those of you here today that have been struggling in the season you've been going through. And I just come to tell you that seasons come and seasons go. And if you'll hang on and stay close to God, this too shall pass. God's doing a work on the inside of you. He's developing something in you that you wouldn't have had any other way. There's something he wants to do in your life because he's taking you somewhere, somewhere greater than you ever could have imagined or dreamed. But he needs to forge and frame that thing on the inside of you today. And that means you've got to trust his timing. You've got to trust his timing. Because for everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And your job is to see the beauty in this season and to live in this season and to learn to see God moving in this season and to appreciate this season for what it is, even though you don't understand. Make a decision. I refuse to watch my life pass me by. Two boys. One ran from Daddy. Thought he knew better. The other stayed home and was faithful to the Father. I was that younger son. I ran from God because I thought what the world had to offer was better than what I had. And it took me going and learning the hard way and hitting rock bottom on a Wednesday night. I sat in the slop of my sin. And I looked up to heaven and said, Father, if you'll take me back, I want to come home. And this morning, without a doubt in my mind, there are some of you here who are living away from God. You are that son. You've left the Father's house. But friend, here's what's incredible about the story. As soon as the son started making his way back, Daddy got up and ran to meet the boy. When God sees you get up and turn back to him, we call that repentance. He runs to you. You are not far from God. You are as close as the whisper of his name. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Friend, you need Jesus for one simple reason. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is what separates us from God. Every person in this room has sinned. That puts us all in the same boat. We all need a Savior. Jesus came and lived a sinless life so that he could die in your place for your sinful life. And he says, I'll die your death and I'll give you my life. And if you're here today, maybe you say, Josh, I thought being a Christian was being a good person or going to church. Friend, it's as simple as beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ by believing in your heart and by saying with your mouth, Jesus, you're my Lord. Maybe you're here today and you're away from God. He's the Father that's always home. His arms are open wide. Won't you come home today? On the count of three, I want you to slip up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. Today, I want to get my life right with Jesus. Today, I want to turn my life over to the Lord. One, two, three. Josh, that's me this morning. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Is there someone else this morning? Today is the day to come home. I thank you. Is there one more this morning? Today is the day of salvation. Today's your time. Today, salvation is in season. Is there just one more this morning?